Good evening, everyone. My name is Michael Temple. I work at Birkbeck Institute for the Moving Image. And we are the co-organizers, co-curators of the SA Film Festival with the ICA. So I just want to say thank you to everyone at the ICA for being so welcoming and so constructive with this first SA Film Festival, which we hope will become a regular feature every year. Those of you who may have seen the program, and there's a paper version which you can pick up as you leave. It's essentially, there are daytime events at Birkbeck, the cinema, Birkbeck Cinema in Gordon Square during the day. And then we have, as you've seen here, screenings every night until Sunday. Regarding tonight's screening, I don't want to speak for too long because I know that we have a double screening tonight. This is a two-part tribute to Peter von Bach. The first film we're going to see is Helsinki Forever, and this is going to be introduced by Olaf Müller, who's here on my left. And then there'll be a short break, and the second screening this evening will be introduced by Bernard Eisenschütz, who's with us tonight, and that is the film Remembrance. So I just wanted to say a very quick thank you to the people from the Finnish Institute who've made this possible through helping us to find the films and generally funding. We've also had some help from the Goethe Institute for this particular evening. And also I'd like to make a special thank you to Neil McGlone, who is sitting very modestly at the back there on the left. And Neil worked very closely with Peter von Bach, and he was extraordinarily helpful when we were actually trying to source the films and choose the films and generally think about the best form for this tribute to take. So I hope you enjoy the first film. I hope you'll come back and see the second film as well. And I'd also encourage you to have a close look at the program. It's a very rich program. We have Tom Anderson with us. We have Esfa Shub with us in memoriam tomorrow. We have the Otolith Group. We have a wonderful collective film professional documentarist on Friday night or Saturday night, I forget. So I'd encourage you to take a close look at the program and come and join us. Okay. So I now hand over to Olaf Müller. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Honored to present this film, but I'm in a certain way obviously not pleased. I would be pleased if Peter was here with us, because Peter is definitely, I have to say it now, was definitely not only a better raconteur than me, but he's definitely also a funnier person. Besides that, Peter would probably be riled up with me standing here in a football hoodie. Especially one that's supporting the rival club of a club his son is supporting. Peter actually never supported any kind of football club. Peter hated sports from school on. I guess it was for him quite an almost torturous thing to have to deal at least twice in his extraordinary career as a filmmaker with sports. Once when he basically did a film on the man he called the all-around Finn for being a champion javelinist, singer, and film actor. So now if you want to know what a Finn is, now you know it. It's the incomparable Tapio Rautavaara, who actually won the only gold medal for Finland in 1948 at the Olympics here in London. So I needed to mention that name. Especially as I remember a screening of a film featuring Tapio Rautavaara in Sodankylä up north and the Polar Circle, and 700 people in the audience going completely crazy. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. When the performance of Tapsa, as he's usually called, finished in the movie, people were starting to shout at the screen as if the guy was alive. Which is what Peter loved about cinema, and which is what he believed in, that cinema could actually, for better or worse, bring the dead back and basically bring the bring the past back to us. Peter was quite obsessed with history as a filmmaker. In fact, almost all of his films deal with history. There's nary a film that does not deal with that particular subject. And to be even more precise, he was extremely obsessed with the history of Finland. Now, I'm quite certain, without wanting to insult anybody here, that most of you would have problems pointing out Finland on a map. You know that it's somewhere up north, but you don't know exactly where. Don't be embarrassed about that. So I don't even want to mention all the things that Peter made films about. Let's just say that he paid tribute to the great history of Finnish popular music by making quite a lot of films dealing with the golden age of the Iskelmä, let's say crooning. It's a wonderful, and you will actually hear a lot of that in the films. He did a lot of films dealing with Finnish film history. He did a lot of films dealing with really history of Finland. He looked at essentially all the, let's say, the decisive moments in Finnish history. He read Finnish history through cinema several times. So if you actually watch your way through his oeuvre, which is pretty huge, I think Peter made something close to 70 films. So he really churned them out. I mean, lengthwise, we are talking about 48 seconds, which is his legendary first film, of course now lost, Life in the Finnish Forests. It was a masterpiece. Really. I mean, the descriptions of the film, which usually take much longer than 46 seconds, are amazing. Great film. To his very last film called Sosialismi, which was his usual length, so to speak, something between 60 and 70 minutes, to the huge series that he did, like Blue Song, which runs a clean 12 hours. He came back time and again and again at Finnish history, always from a slightly different angle. So if you've watched your way through the oeuvre, you will really know quite a lot about that oeuvre, about that country, but also about the kind of, let's say, things very much going on in Peter's head. Because Peter was always an extremely personal filmmaker, and also his Finland is very much his Finland. As you will find out in the second film of today, Peter, I think, even mentions there that filmmaking became for him a way of connecting with the world. And in cinema and through cinema, he, who was always felt like a lost and lonely boy, mainly because he had to move from his hometown, Helsinki, to Oulu, which is in central Finland, at the age of 5, and feeling really, as I said, lost there. For him, basically making films and making these films about Finnish history was a way of connecting with it and actually constructing a home for himself, his home. The films we see today are basically part of the same period of Peter's oeuvre. He himself always said that he has two periods. First period is the Emile D'Antonio period. That ends more or less by accident with the death of Emile D'Antonio. There's really no relation whatsoever between the death of Emile D'Antonio and the end of that period. It's purely accidental. It has mainly to do with the fact that the director Andavo signed, so to speak, the second part of his career was spent. Chris Marquea told him, "Well, Peter, you could actually start using some voiceover." Which is to say that the first 20 years Peter spent making his films really without voiceover or anything. So they were really clear montage works. And in their whole appearance, much, much more severe than the extremely quicksilvery films that he would then later make. The thing is also that when he started to use voiceover, he used it seriously, in the sense of not one voice, but three, usually. So he has usually his own voice, which is really like a commenting voice. One voice that's giving a kind of a straightforward factual element, and one voice for quotes. What I think is actually probably more important for the development of Peter in that regard is actually the fact that he didn't have to use analog editing tools anymore. Like for many other filmmakers, for Peter also digital editing, so to speak, became a way of liberating their own mind. So probably the advent of an avid somewhere in Helsinki was more important than the death of Emil D'Antonio for changing Peter's way of making films, because he could start to become much, much more intuitive. The later films are really made sitting in front of a computer, having a few notes, and then feeling his way into the films. There was no master plan. There were certain chapters. I mean, Peter was an obsessive scribbler. I mean, we traveled a lot around in Finland, and whenever we were talking, he always had a notebook and he was always taking notes. And then at times he would open another book that would be the screenplay notebook and jot stuff down there. And from these notes, he would work. And the films would really shape themselves, so to speak, by just working with the material, looking at it, listening to the kind of quotes he wanted to use. He always knew what he wanted to use, roughly. But he never really was sure how things would fit together. That's something he found out really only while making the films. So he became a very, what can I say, an extremely prolific also filmmaker in that later stage. And one who, let's say, reached film by film new heights of density in his filmmaking. Enough talk, because I actually sense that I'm missing Peter quite a lot. So let's just watch the film, which will be a painful experience because it will just remind me of what Peter and I did a lot walking through Helsinki. It's actually, to a certain degree, this is kind of a denser version of what Peter and I did in the last 5 years. Walking through Helsinki, Peter showing me that film was shot there. Do you remember that scene? Coming up with anecdotes, coming up with historical background, leading back to his own life again, etc., etc. And now whenever I'm in Helsinki, I'm actually staying very close to quite a few of the really key places for his life. Actually, I'm just staying like 5 minutes away from his last home. Just across the street is the restaurant where Finland's greatest actor was always a regular. And on the other side of that street is a small kind of kiosk, I mean, what they have there. And at that kiosk, Peter shot the first scene of his first narrative short film. Enough said. If you have questions regarding Peter, I'm around the whole festival most of the time. And I actually also wrote a book about Peter together with Antti Aalanen, but it's in Finnish. It's a fantastic book. And it gave me really a side that I will never, ever have again. I mean, my books are really marginal nonsense. That does not come into any decent bookshop. But when we did the book about Peter, I went into the biggest bookshop in Helsinki, the Academic Bookshop. Go there while it still exists. There are rumors that they might close it. That will be the end of the world. The self person who said, oh, must be one of the Finns around. Now, and I went... No, because it's actually sold out. Yes! In Finnish. And I came into a bookshop and I went past the history section, and then I suddenly stopped and turned around, and there was a whole pile in the center of the history section. Not the film section, the history section. A pile. This was the most important book of the moment. I will never do that again. I'm quite certain about that one. So now I basically talked us out of the misery I was basically heading for with remembering Peter. Peter would have liked it that much because he liked it when I was trying to be funny. He was, in contrast to me, actually funny. So now enjoy a walk through Helsinki. And yes, as I said, otherwise afterwards I'm around. Thank you.